The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Chulin. Masechet Chulin has been dedicated by our good friend, Mr. Joey Jamal, and his wife, in honor of their son's Jack engagement to Shirley Sutton. Bazat Hashem, she get married b'sha'at tova u'muslachat, and zechut of the limud that we are going to have for the next several months in Masechet Chulin. They should enjoy a lot of nachat, shalom bayit, peace, prosperity, and all the berachot. Amen. That Yud Zayin, today's stuff is being studied. Eilu Nishmat Avraham ben Esther, Rabbi Moshe ben Luna, Ruach Hashem Tnichem, Began Eden. Amen. Today's stuff is being studied. The Hatzlahat, be Yaakov ben Yosef, and Be'azat Hashem to the speedy recovery of the boy Yehuda Leib ben Ita Esther. Be'azat Hashem, he should be safe and sound and returned to the community. B'sha'a tova. Amen. We begin today's daf on Yud Zayin, Amud Rishon, and we are nine lines from Bimai Kamepalge. Last two words on the line. We had a machloket between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Ishmael if it was permissible to eat meat in the midbar. According to Rabbi Akiva, they were allowed to eat meat in the midbar. It's called basar ta'ava. It's just that there was no laws of shechita yet, so they can eat it anywhere they want. And then when they got into Eretz Yisrael, then the laws of Shechita kicked in. According to Bishmael, no, they always had the laws of Shechita. Just they weren't allowed to eat Basar Ta'ava in the Midbar. If you wanted to eat meat, you had to eat it in a Korban. So when they came to Eretz Yisrael, God allowed them to eat Basar Ta'ava. So that's the machloket between Rabbi Akiva and Bishmael. So Gemara says, "Bemaikem Epalgi." What is the root of this machloket? Rabbi Akiva Savar Basar Ta'ava Lo Itzar Klal. Regular meat was never forbidden at all. So therefore, the only thing that was changed between the midbar and Eretz Yisrael was the way they slaughtered. Rabbi Ishmael savar basar nechira lo ishtarek klal. Rabbi Ishmael argues says, for sure there was no basar nechira, eating meat without slaughtering it was never permissible. So that wasn't an option according to Bishmael. Whereas according to Bi'akiva, he said, no, Nechira was permissible in the Midbar. Bishmael said the other way. No, Nechira for sure was not permissible. Look at Rashi. She says, Basar ta'aba lo etzar klal. That's a Bi'akiva. Ukra ve'el petach oil mu'ed lo hevi'o. We have a pasuk that says that you have to bring the meat to petach oil mu'ed. Bekadashim ketiv. That's talking about korbanot. V'hai dechtiv b'chol avat nafshecha tochal basar. Oh, but it says that when you go into Eretz Yisrael, you'll be able to eat meat. How does it be Akiva learn that pasuk? Lav le'oruye etera b'basar ta'avata. It's not coming to tell you it's mutar. Ela k'derish l'rabi al-azar ben al-azareh b'perek kisui adam. L'midat tura derech Eretz shelo yuchal adam basar. Ela l'te'avon. Like, well, the pasuk is teaching you derech eretz. That when it says you should go into Eretz still and eat basar, the Gemara says over there that it's teaching you that a person should not eat meat unless he craves for it. You shouldn't be gluttonous and just eat meat for no reason. Only when you have a desire to eat it. But otherwise, if you don't have a desire to eat it, one shouldn't eat it like achila gasa, just in a gluttonous way. But the pasuk is not coming to matir it. It's just telling you how to eat it. Fine. The next Rashi, basar nechira lo ishtikra. And according to Rabbi Yishmael, he says, nechira was never permissible. Therefore, in the midbar, they had to make shechita as well. Hilkach lo talag katu b'yav ta'aris. So therefore, when it went to the pasuk that talks about going to Eretz Yisrael, ela heter basar ta'ava. Was only coming to be matir basar ta'ava. V'zvihah dekhti b'aykara, la b'yav ta'aris natit, ela urchad dekhla l'mikhtav zvihah b'akhirat basar. Even though it says, when they went to Eretz Yisrael, it says, v'zabachta. Sounds like that now Shahita started. No, it's just telling you the normal way. When you go to Israel and you eat meat, you have to make Shahita. Not that Shahita started in Eretz Yisrael. The way of Zabachta is just telling you the normal way. When you go and you eat meat, you have to make Shahita. In a meh lemaydi l'shir v'bechorot v'zabachta v'achalta in b'pesulei ha-mukdashin sh'nifdu ela etil tzivicha v'chila v'lo giza v'avuda. Okay, either it's talking about v'zabachta v'achalta, it's talking about certain types of korbanot that became pasul and therefore they redeemed them. So the pasul is just telling you that you have a etil to slaughter them and eat them but not to use their shearings. In a male isur shechitat cholim ba'azara, or it's coming to make isur shechita in the azara if it's cholim. Which basically, she's just dealing with one question in this Rashi. It says according to the Bishmael, shechita you had to do the whole time. So why does it say when they went to isur went v'zavachta? So it's giving a few answers. V'zavachta is don't worry, referring to this thing, referring to that thing, but it's for sure shechita was done the whole time. Now the Gemara asks a few questions. Gemara says like this. Bishlama, let it be Ishmael, quote Rabbi Ishmael, Hainu Dikhtiv, Vishahat, Etben, Abakar. Correct. It says in the Midbar, Vishahat, Etben, Abakar. It's the word Shahita. So that's clearly that they did Shahita in the Midbar. El Rabbi Akiva, my Vishahat. What does it do with the word Vishahat? So he answers, Kadashim Shani. No, that was Kurbanot. Even Rabbi Akiva agrees that Korbanot did Shechita. Bishlam Rabbi Ishmael Hanu Dikhtiv Hatzon Ubakar Yishachet Lahim. No? A clear Pasuk in the Midbar as well. It says in the Pasuk Hatzon Vabakar Yishachet Lahim, that the cattle and the sheep will be slaughtered. Now again, this Pasuk was talking about in the Midbar. So again, it's going to be Ishmael. The Gemara says, "Ela Rabbi Akiva, mayatzon v'bakar yishachet, yinachel lehem mebe'ele." It should say the word yinachel, because according to Rabbi Akiva, they made nechira in the Midbar. They slaughtered it in any way. The Gemara answers, "Nechira shelahem zuhi shechitatam." In the Midbar, since that was the way they made shechita, meaning nechira, just killing the animal anyway, they called that shechita. I mean, the shechita of the Midbar was nechita, so you can call it shechita. When the pasuk says atzon v'bakar yishachet, that means yinachel. Why did it say yinachel? That was the shechita in the Midbar. Okay. Bishlamal Rabbi Ishmael, haynu detnan. We have a Mishnah. The Mishnah says like this: Hashochet v'nitnabela biyado. Let's say a guy made shechita, and it became nevela when he was making the shechita. V'hanocher. Or a person makes nechira, right? Which he just rips out the, as she says, v'anuchel midat v'lashun nechira shekorah leorka menechira ve'ad hazeh. Right? They just pull out the simanim. Obviously, it's not a normal shechita. It's pulling out the simanim. V'me'akir, what is a me'akir? Me'akir also is orkes simanim. All types of pulling out the simanim without shechita. How did you explain the word hanuchel in English? I just like to get the English terminology. Hanuchel, nechira. A piercing, okay. Yeah, just taking the knife and just sticking it through the thing. Okay, patur melechasot. Okay, all these cases over there, they're patur from kisui adam. There's mitzvah kisui adam. You slaughter an animal, you got to cover the blood. So the Mishnah says, you made shechita, but it came out bad. Or you did nechira, you don't need to make kisui adam. So give us that's going to be Ishmael. Because nechira is not an option. Therefore, there's no kisui adam. El Rabbi Akiva, amai patu mel chasot. Why are you patu when you do nechira? That's the question. Which means, since nechira was viable at one point, meaning in the Midbar, that's the way they did it, Nihira. So therefore, Nihira should mandate the Kisui Adam. Because it's considered a valid Shechita, at least at one point in history, it was valid. So therefore, why shouldn't you have to make Kisui Adam according to the Bi Yakiva? Once it became Asur, it becomes Asur. Which means, the Hava Amina is, listen, if it's a legitimate way to do it, so therefore, even though we don't do it now anymore, but since it was legitimate, it should be in the kisui adam. Gemara says no. Once it became asur, it's asur, and therefore it's not considered valid anymore. Therefore, there's no kisui adam in this system.
Did this pasuk apply in the midbar?
No, it's a mishnah. This is mishnah. Look at that sheet. Look at that sheet in the first wide line. Patur milechasot. You patur from all these cases to do kisui adam. Tichtiv ashir yachel veshafach vechisa. Only the things that you can eat. Edible items, you cover the blood. Beraoy la'achila ketum medaber. If you manda machayiv kisui b'shochet, then him said terefa. Now there's one opinion that says if you made shechita and the animal was a terefa, you still have to make kisui adam. Hakam odid shechita miyabainan. Because at least there you had a shechita. The animal is a terefa. Here, if it becomes a nevela, it's not even considered a shechita in the first place. The Gemara Shvikas Shkemish from Tehros Vatam Shvaita Kedim Perek Shudaf El Rabbi Akiva. Look at Rashi. Al Kisui Adam Midbar It's Tavu. Right. Obviously in the Midbar they made Kisui Adam on Nechira. Ve Nechira Tam Anu Shvaita Tam Ve Hanuchel Bezman Azen Namin Nevei Kisui. Just like they made Kisui Adam in the Midbar on this type of item according to Rabbi Akiva, it should continue. Well, no, once it became Asur, it became Asur. Uil Ve Itzar Itzar. Comes the Gemara continues. Bishlamal Rabbi, now go the other way. Bishlamal Rabbi Akiva, Tamar Basar Tava Lo Itzar Klal. That they were able to eat Basar Tava in the Midbar. Haynu Dichtiv. Ach Kaasher Yachel Et Tzebi VeEt Ayal Ken Tochelenu. That's what it means in the pasuk in Devarim. It's when the Jewish people are going to enter the Midbar, the Eretz Yisrael. They're going to be able to eat bakar and son betumah, just like they ate the tzvi and the ayal. Which is in the midbar, when they were eating basar tava, you don't have to be tahor when you're eating basar tava. It's not a korban. So the pasuk is just saying that just like in the midbar, that they ate these animals tava without any problems of tumah. So when you go into Eretz Yisrael also, you're going to be able to eat these other animals as well. You're going to be able to eat bakar and son, etc. Without having to worry about the laws of tum'ah. Look at Rashi. Ach kasher yachel. Achshav tzvi v'ayal betum'ah. Which is in the midbar, they ate the tzvi. What's that? The deer and the ayal, the gazelle. Betum'ah. Ken tochel bakar v'son. Mishtechnesu la'aretz. Even though the Hadush is like this, even though now you're going to come to Eretz Yisrael, you're going to have to slaughter it. Now you need Shechita, which means just like in the Midbar, they slaughtered Kadashim. So when they go to Eretz Yisrael, you're going to have to slaughter Cholim. But don't think you're going to have to eat it B'Kedusha. Just because I'm mandating Shechita, don't think I'm going to mandate you have to eat it B'Kedusha. Just like you ate that stuff in the Midbar.
Wow. Lecture mode on.
And why did it pick those items? It picked those items because you don't bring these things as korbanot. Tzvi and ayal are not korbanot. So they were just like ate the tzvi and the ayal in the midbar, betumah, because those things are not korbanot, obviously. So when you go to Eretz Yisrael, and now I'm telling you, you have to make shechita. Don't think the tumah law changes. You don't have to. Don't think shechita means it's a tahara. So that's good according to Rabbi Akiva. However, go back to the Gemara. According to Rabbi Ishmael, Tzvi ve'ayal gufe liyave share. Which means, according to Rabbi Ishmael, that there was no basar ta'ava at all. So they weren't even eating Tzvi and Ayal. What did the pasuk say? Just like you ate the Tzvi and the Ayal in the Midbar, according to Rabbi Ishmael, you didn't eat the Tzvi and those are not, those items, it's meat. And those items are not brought as korbanot. Whereas Rabbi Ishmael had only ate korbanot in the Midbar. Fine, so what does the pasuk say? When you go to Eretz Yisrael, you can eat all the other meat like you ate the Tzvi and the Ayal. According to Rabbi Ishmael, you didn't eat Tzvi and Ayal in the Midbar. So what else is a big hadush here? Ki asar rahmana behema dechajal hakrava. According to Rabbi Ishmael, that which we said they didn't eat regular meat in the Midbar, they didn't eat regular meat that you were able to bring as a korban. Something that was able to be brought as a korban was forbidden to slaughter it regularly. Aval hayad lo hajal hakrava lo asar rahmana. But, for example, a deer deer you don't bring on the Mizbayah. So according to Bishmael, you were able to eat deer in the Midbar. So now we're changing the whole Shittah of Bishmael. We thought they didn't, weren't allowed to eat Basar Ta'ava at all in the Midbar. It's not so. They were able to eat Basar Ta'ava. Just not something that was viable as a Korban. For example, a sheep. Sheep you can bring as a Korban. You can eat it regularly. But a deer, for example, you're allowed to. So that's what the Pasuk was just saying. That just like you ate the deer in the Midbar, you don't have to worry about eating it with Tumah or not. So that when you go to Israel, you're not going to have to worry. Okay. Comes the Gemara has a question now. Gemara has a question. Ba'ay Rabbi Yirmiyah. Ivre basar nechida. Shechnisu Yisrael imhem la'ares mahu. Interesting question. According to Rabbi Ishmael. So according to Rabbi Akiva. You're allowed to make nechida in the midbar. So they pierced the animal. Now they came into Eretz Yisrael. Are they allowed to eat the nechida that was done in the midbar?
They brought it with them.
They brought it with them. So does it go after the midbar laws, or does it go after Eretz Yisrael laws? That's the question. So you want to say it's a grandfather already. It's done from before. It's good. That's the Gemara's question. So the Gemara says a big chadush over here. The Gemara says, wait, Emat, when are you talking? As you know, when we went into Eretz Yisrael, for the first 7 years, we were involved in conquering. Yeshua ben Nun, this first 7 years was conquering from all the 31 kings that were there. And then the second 7 years was dividing the land. So the Gemara says, when are you asking this question? Emat, ilema b'sheva shekavshu. If you're talking about the first 7 years that they were kovesh, hashta davar tameh ishtarelehu. For the first 7 years, they were able to eat pig. Even davar tameh they were able to eat. How do we know? Dichtiv ubatim mele'im kol tuv. That their homes were filled with all the good stuff. What's the good stuff? V'amar b'rimiyah barabam marab katle dehazireh. Katle dehazireh means what?
Bacon.
What's katle?
Bacon.
That's bacon? Bacon of the pig. Katle dehazireh. So then, were you asking about basar nechida? Basar nechida mebaya? Meaning you're worried about stuff that was potentially kosher at one point. They were eating pig. The first 7 years. What's the pshat of eating pig the first 7 years? So look at Rashi. Doesn't say anything in Rashi. The pshat is because when they were fighting the wars, so they were conquering, in the middle of battles. Bad battlefield. There's no kosher food in the battlefield. So they were going into the houses of the Goyim and conquering whatever they conquered. So the Torah allowed them to eat whatever they have to eat. Just because they're talking of wars. Pikuach nefesh. They're not going to starve to death. So already, once they were allowed to eat those things, wasn't? I mean, don't think they were allowed to eat it in their houses, stam. So the Gemara said that's part of the guess. That's going to be the answer. The Gemara is going to say, "Ela lehar mikan." Ela must be this question is after the 7 years. Okay, but the first 7 years there was no rules of kashrut. It seems on them. So therefore, the question about eating this meat basan nechida must be had to put it. They salted it, so it was preserved.
7 years.
They salted it and they preserved it, and then 7 years later it was are they allowed to eat nechida meat? Gemara says, "Leolam b'shema shekavshu." Maybe I can tell you. No, the question is even in the first 7 years. Ki ishtarelehu shlal shel ovdei kochavim didu lo ishtare. Exactly like I told you in the beginning. When they were allowed to eat pig, when they conquered it from the goyim during the war, but when they got home, even during the first 7 years, their own stuff they were allowed to eat taref or nevelot. So therefore the question is even the first 7 years. Don't ask me because, oh, they were eating pig the first 7 years. No, that was in the battlefield. With the whatever they conquered from the goyim was permissible. But their own stuff, they were not. Therefore we can even ask the question in the first 7 years. Look at that she. Shlal of the kukavim. Kedektiv asher lo milleta. Kedektiv nami et shlal oyebecha. Exactly. It was the loot of the enemies that they were allowed to eat. But they weren't allowed to eat basar hazir stam. Anyway, the Gemara leaves that in a tiku. The Gemara leaves that in abeyance. Okay. Now we get to the next case. Amar Rabba. Rabba said, Shenit. Already we learned. Remember we had that riddle in the Mishnah? The Mishnah said, Hakol Shuhatim. Right? Ul'olam Shuhatim. So how do we explain it? And it said, Ubakol Shuhatim. So we explained that. Kol shohatin, no, lam shohatin, we explained already. Let's review how we explained it. Kol shohatin, how do we explain that line?
Even birds.
That's right. Even ofot. Even birds you need to make shahita. Even though it doesn't say it in the Torah, but the Mishnah says, Kol shohatin. What was the next part? Ul olam shohatin. Ul olam shohatin, we explained that according to these opinions that we just said now, that you always have to make shahita. Which means, even after we went into exile, which is according to these opinions that said that Shechita started when we went into Eretz Yisrael. So you would have thought that once we got into exile, we go back to the Midbar system. That while we go back to Nechira. So therefore the Gemara comes along and says, no, Ulam Shechati. Once you start, you start. So now we have to explain the last part of the Mishnah. Bakol shohatim, my mishanitle. How you gonna learn bakol shohatim? Now the key is like this, because till now we're discussing the animal, the item that's nishat. So therefore, the first thing is bakol shohatim, even the birds, even the chickens, and it's done always. I mean the shechita, that which you're slaughtering, applies even in chutz la'aretz. Okay, so how are you going to explain the last part of the Mishnah? Bakol shohatim. With everything we make shechita. So Mura says, v'chitema, it's coming to tell you the equipment. Ben bitzor, you could use a rock. Ben bezichachit, or glass, sharp glass. Ben bekrumit shel kaneh, or a sharp reed. Ha dumya dehanach ketani. You have to learn the third rule, like the first two. They have to be consistent. Ihanach b'shohatin. If the first two are referring to the shechita itself, hainam b'shohatin, then fine. In the third case, we'll be talking about also how you make shechita. Then it works out good with a rock, with a reed, with glass. The ihanach nishhatin. But if the first two are referring to the item that's slaughtered, like we've learned, hainam nishhatin. So then, with the third item, bakol shohatin, has to be also on the nishchat, not on how you slaughter. Which means we want to keep all three consistent. Either it's talking about the way of shechita, or on the item that's being nishchat. So therefore, the way you learn the third case is not consistent, because the first two was going on the animal, and the third one was going on how you make the shechita. So it was not consistent. So the Gemara is going to revamp the whole Mishnah now. Ela Amarava, you're right. You ready for the answer of the riddle? Hakol shohatin. Don't learn like you learned before, even birds. Hakol shohatin. Hada laatuye kuti lehada laatuye Yisrael mumar. It's coming to tell you who slaughters, which means that even though our first Mishnah that bit, if you remember, hakol shohatin. So what do you need two Mishnayot saying hakol shohatin for? Ela, it's coming to include everybody could slaughter. One Mishnah is coming to include even a kuti, and another Mishnah is coming to allow even a mumar, Israel mumar. That's what it says. So what's going on? The guy who's able to make the shechita, le'olam shohatim, and le'olam shohatim also is teaching you about the shechita, ben bayom, ben balayla, whether it's in the day, whether it's in all times, ben berosh agag, ben berosh safina. Whether you want to do it on the roof, like we learned, it's permissible to do it on the roof and catch the blood, and we don't suspect that the people are going to think you're catching the blood for Abu Dazara, and you can do it on the boat also, and you can spill the blood into the ocean. Then we're not going to think that you're doing it for Abu Dazara either, because you're on the boat. What else are you going to do? So that's what's saying everywhere, anytime you can make the shahita. And what's the third thing? So it's all going on the shahita. How do you make a shaita? Number one, you can make a shaita by mumar and kuti. Number two, you can make shaita ben bayom ben balayla. Number three, you can make shaita with any item. So it's all going on the shaita. No animals. It's going on the way you make the shaita.
First way we learned it.
Two of them are going on the animal. The one of them is going on a how.
Right. The middle one was not on. It was on a how.
No.
It was on a when.
Two.
The olam was after it had nothing.
The
to
first.
The, animal.
The first one was. Was the chicken?
The
chicken. The second was that the shechita, meaning these animals, say it like that. These animals have to be nishhat, nishhatin. These animals have to be nishhat even after we go into exile. Now you're telling me the guy. Now everything's going on the guy. That what? The first thing is Mumar Kuti. And the second thing is when to make the Shaita on a guy. You can make it at night, even on the roof. And the third thing is going on the guy, meaning with which Ivan you can do it with. Even these type of things. Okay. Now Rashi just points out you can do it at night only when there's light. Kishavu Kavi, like we learned earlier. And then we said Rosh Hagag, we don't suspect that you're doing it for the Avodah Zarah. On the boat also, we said we don't suspect that you're doing it for the Sar Hayam. Because on the boat, the reason why you're doing it in the water, because where else could you do it? You don't want to get the, you don't want to put the blood on the boat. Okay, that's it. Okay, so that's the pshat in the Mishnah. Okay, now we get into the subject of the knife, the sakin of the shechita. We're going to get into different subjects on that subject. Okay, we need some pictures over here. Our art school gives us some pictures over here just to understand what's going on. Chutz mebagal katzir v'megera. Okay, so what do we say over here? You're not allowed to use a short sickle as the knife of the shechita, and a megera is like a saw. Because what do they have about these things here? There's teeth, sharp, and they are going to rip out the simanim. It's not going to cut them. It's going to tear them. Okay, see, I'll show you the pictures. Abu Shmuel pagam v'shadar, pagam v'shadar. The father of Shmuel, he was in Babel. He wanted to learn the halachot of knife, sakin shechita. So what did he do? He made pigimot. He made different types of nicks in the knife. Sent it to the rabbis of Eretz Yisrael to get a ruling. This one's asur. Another knife. Made another pigimot. What about this one? He kept on sending knives back and forth from Babel to Eretz Yisrael to get halachic rulings. Look at Rashi. Three lines on the bottom. Pagam v'shadar, pagam v'shadar. Asab b'sakin pigimot harbe. She'enam domot zulazu. Every nick he made was different. Because I guess not every nick is going to make it pasul. V'shadar l'eretz yisrael l'da eze asura v'eze kishera. V'chen asab pa'amim v'shalosh. Meaning he did it 2-3 times. That was his way. Anyway, at the end, shalchu le, they sent back to him, kemegera shaninu. Which means the Mishnah, when it mentioned asul, one of the examples it gave is like a megera. Megera is a saw. That only when the pigimot are like the pigimot of a saw, that's going to be asur. Look at Rashi. Shalchu le, siman zi le kavik. Keep on asking us different questions. Learn the rule. We're giving you a siman. The siman is kemegera shaninu. What is megera? Look at Rashi. Rashi has explained. Let's see if we can figure it out from Rashi's words. Shepigimoteha mechuvanot leomkan. Sounds like the pigimot have a omek, have a depth to them. V'yesh the pigam shnei uksin, and the pigam has 2 points. K'she'ata molich siporin mesuf sekin l'rosha. Now, the way they would check the knife is the shoret has to run his nail, you know, back and forth on the blade. So that she says when he runs his nail back and forth, siporin or sipornecha hogeret be'oketz shel sad harosh. The nail is going to hit the point. Ushata bodek marosh sofas hogeret pocket sofa. When you go right to left, it's going to hit a point on the right side. When you go left to right, it's going to hit the point on the left side. Which is there's two points, and there's like a ridge in between, or a little space in between. Out in my book, you have that picture right over here. You see, you have the knife. You have 2 points here. It's like you have a, you make a triangle in the knife. Yeah, it's upside down V, or a triangle. So therefore, you have 2 points. So as you run your fingers across, you can hit the first point. When you run it the other way, you can hit the other point. And your nail goes into the crevice, like it goes into the, which is like that's the migera, by the way. This is the saw that the Mishnah was talking about. That the nick has to be two-pointed. And it seems when you do it like this, somehow it's going to ruin the shechita. When you have 2 points, it's going to pull somehow. But something is going to be okay. We'll see what's going to be okay. It's got to be like this. But if you look at the second picture, just so you can see it now, the second picture you see here is one-pointed. You see, it's the knife is straight across, and then there's a little nick that makes like a, I guess like a right angle. So you just have one point over there. For some reason, the Gemara is going to say this type of knife is okay. This piggy ma is not going to ruin the shechita. We'll have to see exactly why. So it's only like this when it's a nick that goes in. Okay, so Gemara is going to stop. So that's what she meant on the bottom. Tarra banan. All discussions now of the knife. Sakin. Sheyesh ba pigimot harbe tidon kemegera. Okay, it has a lot of pigimot. It has a lot of, what's the word pigimot in English? I'm saying nicks, or in impurities.
Notches.
Oh, notches, he calls it. Okay, that's a better word. So it has a lot of notches. Tidon kemegera has a din of a megera. What does that mean, Ashi? Sakin sheyesh ba pigimot harbe tidon kemegera. Ve'en ba'chidut ben ogeret le'mesuksechet. Which means, when it has a lot, so I don't care if it's the two-pronged one, or it's the one-pronged one. When there's a lot of them, she'afidu kulam mesuksechot, even though one the second knife I showed you with the one sharp edge on it, it's called mesuksechet. That was only good because it's one of them. But if the whole knife has notches like that, pesula, the mesuksechet anu she'en lepigima ela oketz echad. She's saying the pirush amidim now. Whenever you see mesuksechet, it means it only has one sharp edge. The oketz shniya olek b'meshchayzut machshiran lekamat ki ika hada pigima pshodek v'lo avir shulo pagal shita bekosu shegel lesimanim. It's possible there's only one where you won't hit it, and therefore it'll be okay. Because you can make the shechita with the smooth part of the blade. By the time you get to the end, or even if you start from the beginning, it's only going to nick the flesh, and then the rest of the knife is going to slaughter properly. But if you have a lot of those, then it's going to be a problem. So even when we say, so get the terminologies. There's megira. Megira is when you have the, what they're going to call that, ogeret. The one that's pasul is going to be ogeret. Ogeret means to collect. Because when you run your nail across, your nail gets caught in the hole over there. So it's ogeret, it collects it. So the pasul one is called ogeret. Pasul ogeret, to collect. The kasher one is called mesuksechet. But even if you have a lot of mesuksechet, so that's going to be pasul. That's going to have a din like a saw. That's the first part of the Gemara. Now you want to read further. V'she'en ba ela pigima ahat. That's our discussion. There's only one pigima. There's only one notch. Ogeret pesula. Mesuksechet keshera. Good. So ogeret pesula, like I told you. Ogeret is like this, and the knife looks like an upside down V. So when you run your finger across, ogeret, the nail gets caught inside. That's ogeret. That's pesula for some reason. But mesuksechet is where you have it all straight, you just have a little nick coming down at the end, or in the beginning. That's going to be keshera. So Gemara says, I told you definition. The Gemara is going to go through all these definitions now. Hechi damya ogeret, hechi damya mesuksechet. What's ogeret? What's mesuksechet? What's the definition? Amar bili is ogeret mishteruchot. Ogeret meaning you have a point on both sides. No matter how you run your nail across, it's always going to hit a point. Mesuksechet menuach achat. Mesuksechet only from one. It's only from one side. Okay. Maishena mishteruchot. What's the reason when you have it on both sides? The murcha kama mahlish, umurcha batra bazar. Which means, why does it make it pasul? I'm not saying. When you run the knife across, the first nick, or the first notch, it breaks the flesh, doesn't pasul yet, and then the second notch pulls out the semanim. So therefore that's what's going to be pasul. Because you have a back-to-back notches over there. The first one pierces the flesh, and gets away the skin, and the second one hits the simanim. So the Gemara says, "Miruach echad nameh." Even when you have one notch on one side, hurfa de sakina mahlish mursha baza. Now you take the knife. Let's say you start with the thin part of the blade. The thin part of the blade is going to cut through the flesh, and by the time you get to the end, that sharp part is going to nick the simanim.
Only if you go that way.
That's right. The Gemara doesn't say you're not going that way. But if you're going that way, again, the blade cuts, and then the skin and all the stuff in front of the simanim, and by the time you get to the simanim, at the end of the blade, that's going to nick it, and therefore it's going to be pasul. So therefore, just like the first one, ogeret is pasula, mesusik it should also be pasula. That's the Gemara's question. Gemara says, dekaim adesha desakina. It's at the beginning of the blade. Oh, so it's at the beginning of the blade, the assumption is what? That the nick is just going to open the flesh, and then by the time you get to the simanim, you'll have blade. So you'll be okay. Gemara says, sof, ki azla mahlesha, ki ata baza. By the way, we know in Shemita you have to go back and forth. So therefore, what's the difference? You're going to start with the nick, with the notch. Okay? Then you're going to get the blade, but by the time you come back, because you're doing it in a forward back motion, it's going to nick it again. So therefore, you're still not going to help yourself. So it's kegon sheolech velo hevi. You have to say that the case is talking about you only went one direction. I guess it's not like a tayla, no. But that's the only way it's going to be kashir. If you have a knife like that, it's got to be in the beginning of the knife, and it's got to go the only one direction. Then already, you're not going to have a problem with it. So there's a lot of conditions for that knife to be kashir. So the Shochet doesn't know what he's doing when he's using such a knife. Okay, let's read all these Rashi's Sal. A lot of Rashi's here, technical stuff. והוא דקיימה ארשה דסכינה.
כשהגיע לעוקץ, עדיין לא נחתכו העור, והבשר שיקרא העוקץ את הסימן בדלתו. אבל כאן שיש פגימות, הרבה אפילו כולן מסוכסכות, עוקץ של פגם ראשון, נחליש העור. הבשר והפגם השני בא לסימן וקוראו.
Right, that's why if you have a lot of these niches, it's going to be פסול. Because the first one will cut the עור, and the next one is going to cut the סימנים. One of them you can tolerate, but a lot of them, you cannot.
השוחט במעגל קציר דרך הליכתה ותראה מכשירים.
Oh, now we said מעגל קציר, המשנה. מעגל קציר, or later on it says, יוחד. That's a sickle. That if you do it דרך הליכתה, the normal way, בתראה צריך מקשיר, מפני.
שמעגל קציר עוקצה הפגימות כפופים מאוד מאוד.
So it has ridges, but they're kifufim, they're facing one direction exactly. They're low, so therefore it's not going to pull the simani. I guess when you go with the direction of the knife, they're not going to pull them out. If you go the other way, it's going to be a problem. You have to go with the blade.
But okay, she ain't kafuf. לפגם אחד.
אחד מנושאות ואחד מנושאות. Like we said, that's אוגרת.
אוגרת לשון
הגרב וקציר הקלה של הסיפה שאוגרת את הציפור נתוחה. It catches the nail in between. Right? When the nail's going across, it gets stuck. The nail gets stuck in between. That's what's called אוגרת. Next רשי.
מרוח אחד שאין לפגימה אלא עוקץ אחד והשני הוחלק
משחזה, you smooth it with a משחזה with a knife sharpener.
ואין האוגרת, אלא מסוכסכת הסכין והבשר.
יש עוד סכסוך, כי זה לשון כמו סכסכתי מסלם ומסלם, אוקיי, מורשע כמה מחליש.
אור ובשר לבני השני, והשני בא ופוגע בסימן.
Right, that's when you have אוגרת. The first notch breaks the אור, and then the second notch breaks the סימנים. That's what's the problem. זה כמו ספורפת הסכינה, קודם שהגיע לפגע המחליש, כמו חשדי דודש גמי לסורשת, וכל אוקסם במקום קודם הם. ואין חותכין בין בפגעו בו, בין כשהוא יורד ממנו, כך שמעתי, וכן הוא שאלה השני של סכין שבו פגימות הרבה, תדעו כי בגלל אפילו מסוכסכות כמובן מתקמבלים באחד הבין אוגן למסוכסכות בטובה, לא מפריק, משהו אפילו כל עוקסה לצד אחד, לצד ראש, הסכין מוליך ולא הביא עלמא בידתו נמי קוראה. אז גמרא, she's just trying to say that once you have one pigam, one, let's say, מסוכסכת, going forward you won't have a problem. Because it'll hit the or, and then the rest of the knife will do the show. Then once you come back, coming back is going to be a problem, as she says. So therefore, the Gemara says you have to say in that case you're only going one direction.
It doesn't matter how many of those you have.
No, because you're going to hit the first. Yes, okay, we pass through. Because let's not go one direction with this here.
No, this one.
Oh yeah, this one here. Yeah. This
it
one
doesn't matter how many because it's always going to.
No, because it'll keep on hitting.
The next one will get the simanim.
If it gets indented more.
Correct.
Nothing's going to get simanim. It's not going to catch. It's not going to, because it's going this way.
It's going in the direction of the animal. That's what she brought from the case of the sickle. Because I guess no, because those are facing down maybe. But this is sharp. This is straight. So it will catch when they're facing down, and you're going with the direction of it. It won't be able to. But here it's straight down. Could be it's going to grab it. Okay. Okay, fine. Now look at the next. So that's basically the rule of this. When you're checking a knife, we're learning. Let's get some clarity. If you see like this, no good.
Even one.
Certainly more than one is a problem. This is what the Mishnah meant like a saw. This is what it meant like this, when it's like a upside down V. And the Mishnah that said it's okay, is talking about where it has like a straight and it has one notch at the end. So we're going to say that case is going to be okay only when the notch is in the beginning of the knife and you're starting from that point. It's a long knife. You start from that point, so that just, it's going to cut the skin, and the rest of the knife is going to cut the other part, and you're not going back. Because once you go back, it's going to affect the simanim. Okay, that's basically what it's saying. Now we get some rules of it. Amar Rava. Rava says like this. Shalosh midot besekim. Okay, there are three laws regarding the knife. Ogeret lo yishchot. Vim shahat shaitatot pesula. Now we know already. Ogeret, no good. Like this, upside down V, don't slaughter. And if you did it, pesula. No matter what, even one of them. Right? Mesosechet, lo yishchot ba lechatayla. Even mesosechet, don't use that knife lechatayla. So much value use that knife. Vim shachat shchaitato keshera. But only the way we explained above. One way, the beginning of the knife, all the rules that we said. Okay. But again, why don't use the knife lechatayla? Because you might not slaughter it with these conditions. The guy might forget that slaughter the normal way and go back and forth, and it was to be pasul. So there's no mitzvah to use a mesuchsek lechatayla with these conditions. Olev v'yored besakin. Okay, what's that case? Olev v'yored goes up and down. Shuchet ba lechatayla. That's a kosher knife lechatayla. That's the olev v'yored. But the blade is not straight. You filed it down, so what? It's a little piggy mouth, won't catch.
Okay,
that's talking about the case of
Mesosechus.
Don't do the katela, because you might go back and forth. Next one. Which means you had oketzes over there, you had notches over there, but you filed them down. So therefore, that area is a little lower than the other part of the knife. I guess when you filed it down, so therefore it's not going to be all on the same plane. Because you filed it down. So it's going to be a little, part of the knife is higher, part of the knife is lower. It's all straight, but your regular knife is all straight, it's the same plane.
Won't catch.
You dulled it down. It's going to be a little lower or higher, you know, based on how you did it. That's okay because it's smooth, the knife. That's the machine. Don't think the knife. You have to measure it with a plane to make sure it's exactly on the same the line.
As long as you file it.
As long as you file it, they got rid of the point. It's okay. Right. Okay. That's called olevi yored. Amar le rav. You just told me mesuchsechet is pesula. That's what we learned. You taught us that from the name of Rabbah. Mesuchsechet is pesula. Even with the avad. But Rabbah taught us if it's mesuchsechet, it's keshera. How do you square off two of Rabbah's statements? Make up your mind. Is mesuchsechet good or not? Simple. One is to about where you went back and forth, that's going to be pesula b'di'avad. And one is to about only when you went one direction. And Rava talked two different times. It was both to about the same mesuch sechet. One time he said, b'di'avad, it's okay. One time he said, But the Avad it's pasul. I make up your mind. So when you only go one direction, it's okay, because you're not hitting the pegima on the simani. But when you go back and forth, it's going to pull them out. Okay, I understand. Now, this is the case I don't understand. Damya lesasea. Mai. If the knife is dome to the top of a stalk of wheat. Mai. But it has things coming out. He didn't give me a picture of this here. He says, Zekana shibolet. I guess when you see a stalk of wheat, so a stalk of wheat has like points coming out. Not points, it's uneven. So what does it mean uneven? Is that all over your head? So we had a catch. It's wavy. But it's not pointy. But that's not all over your head. It just means you're sharp, you had a point and you sanded it down so it's just not even. Here it's what? Wavy, it's going up and down. Amar le manya hivle me besare v'achlina. So he answered him back, who would give me the meat from this type of shaita and I'll eat it? Which basically he was saying, it's okay. Which is, what I'm understanding from all this Gemara, as long as there's not points, it's going to be okay. The issue of it is when it has a point. That's the issue that's for sale. Because it catches the simanim. It's extra tear, exactly. But as long as you have, it's not straight or goes up and down, so it's smooth basically, it's not going to be an issue. So even if it's going up and down like this, the head of a stalk, it should be okay as well. Look at the way that she explains it. Sorry. Damya lesaseah. What are three lines down?
Zikan,
Hashibolim
she'eno chalak, ta'asakin she'en piya chalak, ala pegam enna.
Right, it's not straight, but there's no pegam. Okay, fine. Amar of Chazda. Minayin the bedikat sakin min haTorah. Oh, new question. How do you know that you have to check the knife from the Torah? I mean, before you make the shaida, you got to check the knife. Where is this brought down? So it says Shnei Emar, Ushchatem baze v'achaltem. It says Shaul HaMelech told the people, take this knife and make the shaida, implying that what? That he must have checked the knife first. לכן השיר שחתם בזה בשאול כתיב ומדקמר
בשאול כתיב מדקמר בזה שמע מן הסכין בדק להם
בזה means with the knife. So is he בדיקת סכין is a פסוק in the Navi ושחתם בזה use this knife, that means he must have checked it. So the Gemara says פשיטה, it's almost within the פסוק פה כיוון דכי נקב טרפה והיה בדיקה. Since you tell me the knife can make the animal I don't know why it says terefah. I would say nevelah, but he's calling it a terefah because it makes a hole in the windpipe. So I'm making a hole in the windpipe because of the terefah. Fine. So the point is like this. Of course you have to make bidika. Since the knife can be making the animal a terefah, sevara, logic would say check the knife before. What do you bring me a pasuk? Of course you have to check the knife before. Look at Nashi. Nashi says, Dechema di'ina kav. Leveshet. Right. If there's a pegam, it's going to make it a tenefa. So for sure you should check the knife before. So it says, lehacham kamrina. That's what the question was. How do we know you have to show the knife to a hacham? Which means, maybe I'll tell you, show it to the shohet. So every shohet is ne'eman. We have a general rule in the whole Torah, ed echad ne'eman, bisurin. That you show it to the regular shohet, and he says that the knife is okay. Our question was, how do you know you have to show it to the hakam, to the scholar of the town? So the Gemara says, that's the Gemara's next question. You really don't have to show it to the hakam. Really, anybody's trusted. The only reason why we show it to the hakam is kavod. Give it to the kavod to the biggest hakam. So therefore, what do you bring me a deen? Do you have to show it to the hakam before you? You only show it to the hakam because of kavod. But you really don't have. You can rely on the shohet technically. So the Gemara says you're right. Midrabanan ukras machta be'almau. You're right. Really, showing it to the hakam is midrabanan. And that pasuk that we quoted is just a remez. Don't think that that's a Torah pasuk. You have to show it to the hakam from the Torah like they showed it to Shaul. No, you show it to the hakam out of respect. But really, from the Torah law, you can rely on the shohet himself to make the bedika. Good. Okay. Stop over here. Baruch Hashem. Amen. Amen.